Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, every Monday at noon central, I am in front of my mic, ready to share new information, my amazing guests, and of course, me with all of you, my listeners. It's getting to be a great habit to get into. Now, when I first began my radio show, it brought back memories of starting my business. I was trying to figure out who my market was. Well, I thought I had it all figured out because my market was really too large. It was women. Okay, so that's half of the workforce. So in reality, I did eliminate 50%, but it's still too large. And every time I tried to further define my market, I had this silly message in my head. If you eliminate this group, then you're eliminating the chance to help them. The truth of the matter is that you can't help everyone. And I know as women, we want to do just that, help everyone and not leave anyone out. But the bottom line is that you can't help everyone. Not everyone needs what you have. So who's your target? And that's when I realized what target market really is. The light bulb for me, it suddenly flashed really bright. Who is it that I can help that actually really needs my help? And that's the double whammy. You have to want them, and they have to need you. And there's nothing worse than realizing that your market is just not that into you. However, knowing your target's important because it will not only help you better define the features and the pricing of all your products and services, but it will let you tailor your marketing message to address the needs and wants of a specific and narrow group. Now, marketing experts say that the narrower the niche, the stronger your business. And as long as you choose a target that's accurate and reflects an authentic need, you are in. So here's a few reasons why concentrating on your target audience can benefit your bottom line. First, a smaller group has a very specific and unique need and want. Second, you'll get more referrals. When people know exactly what your specialty is, they also know exactly whom to send your way. Third, you'll have a much easier time establishing strategic partners. Working within a narrow market provides a great opportunity to partner with a business that's complementary that serves the same market. They'll trust your expertise, and also they're going to see you and your company connecting with this target group. And last, you'll be laser focused on your target. Defining your market takes a lot of the guesswork out of your marketing efforts, and it also positions you as a clear expert in your area. Now, people always ask me if I've ever changed my target market from when I started, and I simply let them know that my audience, maybe I adjusted it just a little bit, but my message never changed. My message has always been about communication, how women communicate, how men communicate, and how everyone communicates with each other. I talk about how different men and women are, and I never say that one gender is better than the other or one is right and one is wrong. I talk about the differences, and that's what they are. They're differences, and how we use them as assets rather than liabilities. I simply needed to add this into the sales process, so my message remains solid. In other words, I redefined my target to focus on gender communication in sales training. So yes, I did start to color outside the original box, but I stayed on the same page. So the real question is how to determine what your target market is. Our guests today have identified their own target markets that we'll be discussing. In the meantime, here's what I know. I've always been told to do what you know. That's true when you write a book or build a business or anything that requires your own skill. I lived the life of my niche. I was a woman in a male-dominated industry. Not once, not twice, but at least half a dozen times. So when I walked away from my last position, I asked myself, what would I have benefited from through my years? What would have made my life easier? How can I do that for someone else? Those are some of the questions I asked myself. I knew what it was like to be the only female or one of the only females, and that was my aha moment. If I had had just one female mentor or coach or just a woman who would have extended her hand to offer me guidance, suggestions, or friendship, my entire life would have been easier and different. So with that said, you need to really identify who your target is, and I mean really identify it. Describe who or what it is in great detail. Is it women? Is it a speaker? Is it an author? Is there a common cause? Ask yourself these simple questions. What are the demographics? Where does your target audience hang out? And what are their day-to-day concerns? And most importantly, how can you help? Once you know who your target market is, what they look like, where they hang out, and what they need or want, you are ready to make things happen. And your goal is to make sure you're aiming directly at that target. Now, when we come back, we're going to meet our first guest who will be talking about choosing her target market with a common cause in mind. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to SellingInASkirtWithJudyHoberman.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. All right, are you ready to listen in and get focused on your target? Let's get started. My first guest is Lori Finella, a.k.a. Lori Jean. She's a seven-time published author at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Seven times. She started her own children's line of books and has a writing course online that's been approved by Udemy and others. Lori Jean is the CEO of LJ Productions. She's a publisher, CEO of her own talk show, Women Empowerment at Blog Talk Radio, and Women Empowerment Magazine, and a publisher of music and books under the LJ Productions. You'll find her work all over the well-known digital venues on the web, including iTunes and Barnes & Noble. She currently writes a column for Chris Ibbey and friends at chrisibbey.com. She also has two albums at which she wrote and composed, debuting two songs at iTunes in The Voice of Women and The Virtuous Women out at Amazon. Her Country Christian album will be out in 2014, so I'm hoping that we're going to hear it's out already. So welcome to the show, Lori Jean. It is an honor to have you here today.
Oh, thank you, Judy. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, good. So let's start out with some opinions about target marketing. We know that in order to reach your level of success, whatever that definition is, having a target market is the way to go. What do you think about that? Because I know you have an idea about who you want to capture. So what do you think about target marketing?
I think it's wonderful. I love your opening monologue. And it really makes me think every time I hear of a powerful and strong woman that comes out and you just say it's straightforward and you're very concise with the information and the way you feel about the way you're approaching your target marketing. And I don't really think about it a lot when I'm doing what I'm doing as far as marketing, because I'm not really good at marketing at all. And I know it seems like, I don't know how I get all these things out there, but I think I kind of use spiritual guides and what I feel inside my body, and I'm always trying to do what I feel would be good for somebody else. And it's along the same lines with you as far as the male and female comparison, where you want to include everybody and do what's good for everybody. And I have found that it was hard for me to consciously include males in my campaigns, anything to do with marketing, because my words always seemed to come out female-oriented. So I had to kind of learn with my work, where I was very popular more in the female market. I had to learn, let's say with my album, which Love of a Child, which is out, it's in the alternative base, so I apologize for not updating with you, but I had to learn to kind of let men know how they can be there for us, really, because I have a hard time sometimes still relating with males and just bringing them into my life, period. So that's kind of how I came about with deciding how I was going to deal with incorporating the entire world with my work.
Well, you know, and that's interesting because I think a lot of times what happens is when you have the word woman in your title or something that's feminine, all the men seem to back out. You know, cause with me selling in a skirt, I always get the comment, I don't wear a skirt, I don't need a skirt, you know. And I always say, it's just as much for you as it is for women because it's the message. And so for me, when I look at you, your target to me is about a common cause. Does that, you know, I mean, is that what you're trying to bring in, you know, people that are in the same situation and so you can help them see the light at the end of the tunnel?
Yes, because I've had people say to me, moreover, you know, men go through the same things that women go through, and I really, really tried to research that in my mind because that was the hardest place that was having the problem getting through, and I decided instead of trying to see what men are feeling, which I can't, I'm not a male, I will try to let men see, you know, what we are feeling and how to read us so we can, in turn, if not even able to be there for them, be able to relate with them so they are in our world.
Absolutely. So tell me, what is Single Women Entrepreneurs about?
Well, the fact that I did all this and I'm single and I'm raising a child on my own, he graduates this year with honors and he is just, you know, he's the best thing of my entire life, and I know any other mother would say that, but
your best production.
he definitely, I wouldn't have done any of these things. I can sit home sometimes in one day and put things out and then look at it maybe a few months later and realize what I've done is something that can take somebody months or years to do. And I've gotten that from my son, from having him on my own and knowing that, my gosh, not only did I have a child, but I had a male child, had no idea how I was going to relate to him and teach him the male world. And I knew I had to be both parents, and he was going to follow me as a role model. So I've been struggling ever since and trying to make sure I can stay on top of the market in, you know, every genre, everything out there. And, or I should say not every genre, every subject, I guess, topic of everything out there. And so that really has been my biggest challenge as far as just trying to raise my son by myself, and that's really what's gotten me into the I hope I didn't sidetrack your question. I apologize.
And I'll tell you something funny. You know, I was also a single mom for 19 years, and I remember when my son was, I don't know, 11 or 12 or so, he wanted a shave, and his dad didn't want to help him. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I have to do this. But I told him, I said, I'll help you, but I get to take pictures before, during, and after, because that's the difference between a mom and a dad. So,
right.
But, So you have to just, you know, we have to be everything to everybody. Even when there's a two-parent family, you still have to be there. So let me ask you, you know, everybody has a different way of getting their message out. And some speak, some write, some do it through music. You seem to be doing all of it. And you've got this amazing career in music, and you've also got this amazing career in writing. So tell me, what's your favorite way and why, basically? Does it make you feel better? Does it get the message out easier?
I think singing, because I have such intensity, and I have just, you know, I've been doing all kinds of life coaching, and I'm into this really very deep, deep meditational program where we really tap completely inside of ourselves, and I'm learning more about myself than I ever have, and I learned to get past any market, whether it's male or female, to use my strongest asset that's not going to offend. So that was one of the things that I have been tapping into. But the other thing also was my music really is the most important to me. And I think this is because I had tried to get into the entertainment field for many years, and I had many, many struggles and barriers in front of me. And they did seem to be male-oriented, and I try really hard not to focused on that because that's going to be my downfall. But, you know, the era I was born in was the 60s, and I had so many struggles trying to become what I wanted to become, starting from the day I was born and the way I was raised and the era I was raised. And so because I didn't get to entertain and I had a son and I knew I had to be strong, all these other accomplishments that I had been attaining were leading up to my first love. And that was to be out there to show my intensity of myself, which the best way I have been able to do it would be performing. And, you know, with all my injuries that I sustained over my life, music was the easiest one for me to show that. So I'd have to say my music definitely, and I really think I can reach people the strongest because I just seem to be able to come out and reach both genders and get my message across.
Okay. Well, I know that you're on a personal journey, and I know that part of it is getting you through this better and stronger than ever. And so why don't you talk to our listeners about, you know, what the journey is and where you are in it right now, because we all have a long place to go, you know, and so nobody ever arrives. But you're in a really good place right now.
Yep.
So can you talk about that a little?
Yes, I am, and I want to invite everyone, if you don't know about my journey, and I call it Come On Lori Jean's Healing Journey. Sometimes I say from abuse, sometimes I don't, depending on, you know, the audience. I don't want to offend or frighten, but I am in a good place. I've lost 30 pounds. I've had very serious injuries. Is it okay if I touch upon them lightly, or I can just say them quickly?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I suffered an impact of a gunshot wound to the head. So I have a soft spot in my right-hand side. It did affect my, you know, speech and thinking, my cognitive thinking, which I had a mild injury back in 1990, but this made it worse. I've had my muscles separated from my backbone, which makes it very hard to walk and move around. And of course, I gained a ton of weight. And I've had nerves severed along my backbone about 2 feet. So made it hard to use my hands, so I couldn't write books anymore, and I couldn't do my radio show. So I had to completely reinvent myself, and so I went back to school, and I went back to school, started writing music instead because I couldn't write books anymore, and I'm a writer. And I found myself through the music, and I found myself healing, and the weight was still an issue. The weight really didn't come off till the end of last year, and this is worse than a three-year period. So if you follow my journey, which I decided since I have so many trials and tribulations in my life, and it started back from way back when I was small, and every time I would try to go to a job or go see or an audition or a photo shoot, I would be in there in tears or there would be something that would happen to me along the way. And I could have sat there in my day and age and not done anything with my life and still try to hide it, or I could bring it with me and try to attain my success that way. So I decided to invite you all along with my journey so you know my story instead of having to find a story to make in your mind as to what my situation is. And I think it's more honest and it's more easier. And people who deal with me, I know it's because they want to deal with me. And I tell them right up front where I'm at, you know, physically, emotionally, and I am at a very good place right now because I have taken on help from others, life coaching, and like I said, I'm in a very intense program right now, and I hope they just keep getting better, the programs that I'm in, but I do plan on getting back to my size 6 or 8 by the summer, which I haven't been able to do since my son was, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10, and he's going to graduate this year, and I do plan on being on the big stage. That is something I definitely have in my future. And, you know, I want to be out there with the greats and share my stuff. And I want to light the candles with the rest of the world. And, yes, I will include you males, even though it was a male that did this to me, because I know not all males out there are bad. You know, I have family. My son's a male, for one. And, you know, I've had males reach out to me to help me. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, your son is watching you as a role model, so if you were giving out the message that you don't like men, that would not be good, and you're not doing that. So I think that's wonderful, especially since what you've gone through. But you also, you wrote children's books. So when you go through your journey, it's not just about you and women. It's also about children. So why did you decide to do that, just to bring in another group? But talk about the children's books for a minute.
Okay, I have to say everything I do for myself, but I've learned that if I do it for myself, I have to do what's helping me or I can't help somebody else. And I don't know if it's because of my injury, but that's kind of what I found within myself. And I know that other people definitely have gone through things that I've gone through. I just saved a woman's life a couple weeks ago from just a few videos that I put out, just tips trying to help people. But I lost a child when I was a teen, and that's why I try to reach teens all the time, because I had nowhere to go when I was pregnant, and I was taken to a horrible place, and I thought they were just going to give me counseling, and they gave me something to supposedly relax me, and then I was completely out of my realm, and they just wanted to make the money. I almost bled to death, and it was a late abortion. So I went through a whole lot with that, and I have always wanted to reach out to teen moms or kids. So I had a teen show for a while, and then I always wanted to write children's books, which I never felt I was good enough to do. And from all the training that I had at college, I learned how to just look at pictures and assess stories from pictures, and then also my ability to write inside. So it just took me like a few minutes to look at some pictures of other children, and I was able to relate to children in a way that I would have wanted to be related to when I was growing up, where I felt I had no one to reach out and just give me symbols of hope and love. And they're just very simple books that, I mean, you know, you can put them on your iPad, and you can even get them free at Amazon. I have it under a free lending library. It's just, you know, it's just for the kids. If I can bring, you know, a smile of a heart into a child, that's who I'm trying to reach, which I know would help the mom. And where I felt so lost at times growing up, my mom didn't read. It would really, really, it does me good. And I feel it coming back to me, you know.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes when there's lots of trauma to a person, you know, unless they break the cycle and do something about it, it's just going to continue. So you have definitely taken it upon yourself to make things different.
Yeah.
So you talked about, or I talked about in your bio, that you also do writing courses. So there's so many of us that really they have a book or an article or something in their heads, and they just can't seem to get it out on paper. So would your writing course help them to, you know, start at the beginning, or what would it help them do, and where would they be able to find information about it?
Well, you can find me at Udemy or Udemy. I don't know how people say it.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it either.
I say Udemy, but I think other people say Udemy. And you can just, you know, type in the word Finella. But my course, from beginning to end, from beginning to advanced, because I found so many writers who are even advanced, they have a hard time finishing their books. I mean, I was a part of so many different writing clubs and forums, and I don't know how many times I've seen people, they don't finish the book, so they think they have to wait for a traditional publisher, and they'll be praying for 20 years waiting for the day to come, and you don't have to do that. I mean, you know, my books, you know, the ones that were through another publisher and the ones I put up myself, they still pick up my books even though I put them out myself. And I realized I was already out there with another publisher, but Amazon is great. And if you go to CreateSpace, which some people might cringe if I say that, oh, my God, you gave away my secret. But, I mean, we're all people. We're all the same people. We're all at the same level no matter where we are. CreateSpace.com, you go there. You can put your book out free, and I show people this in my course. You don't have to spend a dime, and I even show them where to go for free marketing. And it's such a wonderful feeling, and trying to find a place inside of you to finish. I know how to tap into those areas. I mean, Lord knows I've crossed on the other side and back through death, so if I can't find those areas, no one's going to be able to. I may as well share something with the rest of the world. I went there for some reason, so I definitely know how to tap into those areas to help you guys, you know, finish that book. I do a little bit of meditation in there with you. I got great links. I think if anybody, you know, could do it, it would be me that would be able to help them. But
well, that's awesome. And how would they find it?
You can just go to udemy.com and just search Lori Finella, Finnila. And a lot of times they have coupons out. You can get the class for like $2. But right now it's listed at $49, but you can get it really cheap.
Okay, that's awesome. So let me ask you a question. This is one of my favorite questions. And you know, some people immediately say yes or no, or they think about it for a second. So you do however you want to do it.
Okay.
With everything that you've been through, if you knew then what you know now, would you have changed anything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if I can say it in one line, listen to your intuition. Don't ever listen to those voices in the background saying, oh, my goodness, The minute you feel that stopping point pulling at you, completely, don't even listen to it, even if it's sometimes painful. And I hate to say that, but when I think of the things that I've put myself through that were completely unnecessary, I would have had to actually push myself in the painful mode. That's how deep I was stuck into a really bad, bad pattern of thinking. So
mm-hmm.
that's what
mm-hmm.
you need to do.
Awesome. So what's next for you, Laura Jean? What do you want people to know what's coming up, or you know, where do you see yourself? What's up for you?
All right. Well, maybe against the rest of the world, this hot chick is coming out, and I'm doing what I do, and it will be very stimulating, possibly sexually. I am doing an album, Virgin From Within, and I haven't been out in the market at all as far as dating men myself for 20 years. And so I am coming out and reflecting anything and everything inside of me. So you want to watch for that. I have 2 songs out now already at my website, lori-jean.com. So you'll see the Virgin From Within. Have fun with it.
Awesome. That's awesome. So what do you want to leave our listeners with today? Any thoughts, any last-minute thoughts you can think of?
Yeah, fight me to get me on that big stage and start putting me on the radio, okay? Because I've done a lot for you guys, too, and I will continue.
Well, whatever we can do, you know we're going to help you do that. And you know,
I'm going to
everything.
Start
yeah.
I've
yeah.
given
well,
back, so.
Yes, and I think that's important. I think, you know, that you go in with it thinking that you're doing for others, and others will come back, and you know how it works.
Oh, it's my
okay,
thing.
Okay, so, yep. So how can people connect with you? How can they stay in touch with you? How can they get more of you?
I have 3 different sites. My electronic press kit is at artistecard.com/LoriJean, just LoriJean. My Reverb Nation, which is ReverbNation.com/LoriJean as well. And then, of course, my website, lori-jean.com. And if you want to reach me privately, you can just call me at 541-206-3030 or loriejeanrecordingartist@gmail.com.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I just want to thank you because it has been such a pleasure having you here on the show, and you're a great role model for women, for kids, and I do hope you'll come back and let us know how you're doing on your personal journey.
I will. My first big stage ahead, I will definitely contact you.
Well, good. I'm so excited for you.
Maybe from the stage.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be from the stage. I'm sure it'll be from the stage. Well, just know that we're behind you, and we'll watch your progress and support you in any way that we can.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. God bless you.
Thank you, Laura Jean. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a short break to make sure we thank our sponsors, BDP Consulting. Now, if you want to be a sponsor, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com, click on the sponsor tab, and watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, and we will be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
They say everybody has a story. A special few have the gift of bringing stories to life. When you absolutely can't get your book from your head to the written page, you need the special services of a ghostwriter. You will be amazed at what happens when you leave the telling of your story to a writer with the ability to reach inside and capture joy and laughter and pain and transform it all into your words, your raw emotions, just waiting to explode into reality. When waiting to tell your story is no longer an option, trust a ghostwriter that can deliver on a promise. Shirley Carney is that writer you can trust. Contact Shirley at ShirleyWintersCarney@yahoo.com or give her a call at 832-492-4088.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, I want to make sure you stay current with everything that we're doing and all the events and the updates. So go in and like us on Facebook on Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman, and Tough Talk Radio Network. You can also follow me on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt as well. Remember that staying connected gives you access, and access gives you profitability. Okay, so you ready for our next guest? Very excited. JP Jones is my next guest, and guess what? She wears many hats. Among them are graphic designing, web designing, social media marketing, teaching, book publishing, blogging, and writing. She's the author of Market Yourself, A Beginner's Guide to Social Media. She's also the owner of Page One Media and Page One Publishing, a graphic design firm and publishing company that work with domestic and international clients on projects ranging from basic logo development to magazine and book design. Her firms are contracted in joint ventures with Calypsis Web Solutions, LLC, which handles web design and development for clients around the world. JP has also served as an adjunct instructor at Oral Roberts University, teaching classes for the communications department. She's had the honor of winning over 180 awards for her design and promotions work over the years and has been designing professionally for over 10 years and immerses herself in the current trends and technologies emerging in the industry. And we know how quickly those things change. Staying on top of technology is her job. Teaching it to others is her passion. So welcome to the show, JP. We are excited to share the mic with you.
Well, thank you for having me, Judy.
This is very exciting. You've got so many things we can chat about. So let's start with the obvious. You're a marketing and design guru, and I know that you have some deep insight into the value of target marketing. Can you share some ideas about that?
You know, absolutely. And marketing is such a vast black hole for some people. You know, and in fact, a lot of business owners and artists and authors and anybody that's looking to market something. Marketing seems like such a scary topic. And, you know, that's one of the things that through my books, I really try to take that fear away, I guess is the best way to say it, but take that fear away and make it something that is attainable. And, you know, knowing who you're targeting and who you're going after in terms of your marketing efforts, that's the difference between, you know, wasting your time and actually getting, you know, getting return on your investment. And that's ultimately what we want. We don't want a marketing campaign that's out there and we're sending out all this stuff and we're putting all this time into it, but we're not getting any results. And, you know, one of the things that I tell clients when we're working with them is even if you only get, you know, if you only send out a few touches, you know, to people, but you get return back on those, that's far more valuable than sending out hundreds or thousands and, you know, hearing back from three people. And so, you know,
right.
That idea of having that targeted so that you know who you're going after, that's huge.
So who is your target market?
Well, you know, it's always funny when I get asked that because, as you saw in my bio, I'm doing so many different things. I've got separate target markets for everything, and so it just kind of depends on which JP you're talking to today. But, you know, that's something that a lot of other people are also facing is who is their target market. And I think determining that, you know, one of the biggest things that you have to do is you have to put yourself in your customer's shoes and determine exactly what makes up your perfect customer, and then go out and find those people.
Right. So do you think that women have a harder time deciding to stick to a certain market than men? Because, as I said when I opened the show, we don't want to leave anyone out. And so, you know, we try to help everyone, which is ridiculous because not everybody needs everything. I mean, even if you were offering air, not everybody needs air. So do you think women have a much harder time than this than men?
Well, I think from a compassion standpoint, definitely. At the same time, I've had countless male clients come to us, and when we say, okay, who are you wanting to sell to, they'll tell us everyone. So, you know, so I don't know that it's necessarily, determined by gender, but I do think that it is, I think it's a mindset that we have to develop because as somebody that's wanting to sell something, you know, our first instinct is to say, well, of course we want to sell it to everyone. We want everyone to buy our product. And so it's it's taken that, and then coming stepping back from that and saying, okay, let's look realistically. And it's better to cast the net small. You know, if you find that your product should go to, you know, women that are in their 50s to 60s, you're much better off focusing small on that demographic and targeting them instead of trying to say, okay, well, now I'm going to pull it back and I'm going to hit all women. Because what's going to happen is you're going to have your net so big that, you know, if you think about that and you kind of think about it expanding as the net gets bigger, those holes in the net get bigger too, and the fish just slip right through. And so that's kind of the analogy that we use. You want to keep that net small and tight so that you are actually grabbing those customers. But kind of, you know, one of the things, too, that we tell people, if you're afraid that maybe your target is too small, you know, start there, and you can always expand it. You can always, you know, change it. You're not locked into something. You know, and I think that's another thing when you first ask somebody who your target audience is, it kind of goes back to that not wanting to leave anybody out. They don't want to miss the mark. And so they think that by saying, okay, I want to include everyone, that they're not going to miss the mark, whereas they're really just kind of shooting themselves in the foot, you know, on the other side of it. But I think that's the thing. Realize that it's not, you know, it's not the road of no return. You can always come back and you can change it and you can adjust it and you can go a different direction, but start small.
Yeah, and the problem when you have it too big is that you also, people don't know who to refer you to because they can't figure it out either. Okay, my market is women. Oh, okay, great.
Sure.
Well, how would I refer people to you if I don't know what kind of woman? You know, old, young, single, married, whatever. So I think that that's also part of it. But let's switch gears for a second because you also, you take the craziness out of web developing. Now, as we all know, most web developers, well, you know, website managers, they have their own language. And I discovered that when a developer says to me tomorrow, they don't actually mean tomorrow necessarily. They just mean not today. So, right? I mean, I finally figured it out after I was, like, pulling my hair out because if I said to you tomorrow, I mean tomorrow. And so, you know, it was crazy. So how do you actually make this whole experience more pleasant, especially if you're not so tech savvy?
Actually, that's kind of, you know, when you talk about the question you asked me earlier, who our target market is, that's the kind of people that we're targeting, somebody that wants to take that craziness out of their web development, because that's kind of our niche. What we do is, you know, first of all, when we first started our company, we kept hearing clients that would say the same thing. They would complain about what you mentioned right there, that, you know, they kept getting double speak from their web developer and never knew what was going on, and nothing was ever done on time, and, you know, it was one thing after another. And then the second thing was that they would get into a situation where they would have a website or they would have something online functioning, and they're not necessarily computer savvy. They're not able to get in and work with it. And so they were kind of held hostage by their web development company. And those were the two big things that we set out to change in the industry within our company, with Calypsis Web Solutions. And to do that, you know, one of the things that we do, we kind of have a gateway system set up for all of our clients. And basically the way that works, we have our programmers kind of on the back side of things, and, you know, they're back there and they're working and they're developing. But, you know, a lot of that mindset, the mindset that it takes to be an incredible programmer, is not the same mindset and the same skill set that you need to really be a great customer service person. And so that was one of the things that we initially realized, okay, we need to separate those two things. The web developer is not the same person that necessarily needs to be talking to the customer, because that's a totally different skill set. And so, you know, that was one of the things that we had heard from clients that said, okay, I'm working right with the developer, but, you know, he talks over my head. I don't know what's going on, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so we wanted to stop that. And so we kind of put in that stop gap to keep that from happening. And so that clients can come to us and we're able to, you know, put the information out there in layman's terms so that they understand exactly what's going on. You make sure that if we give them a time frame and we say, okay, we're going to have this tomorrow, we do whatever it takes to make sure that we do have it tomorrow. But, you know, from the programming side of that, we also realize that, you know, we want to give them a longer deadline and then
under-promise and over-deliver.
Yes, exactly. Over-deliver on that.
Yes. And so, you know, one of the other things that you just mentioned is sometimes they talk over your head. Well, the problem is when they say to you, okay, so the first – part of this whole project is all the coding in the back and da 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 and da 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 da. Well, you know, as somebody that is definitely not tech savvy, you can show me anything and tell me that it's done in the back, I would not know.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing, and tell me if you agree or not, I see that more women are getting into the IT field and they're hoping to build relationships instead of being transactional and trying to get into this whole thing about, let me help you, you know, let me show you that it's not as crazy as you think. And I think that's what you're doing, especially for women. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. And that's exactly what we do. We get in there and we forge a relationship with our clients. And we become kind of their one-stop shopping, you know, where we can fill up any holes that they might have in their process. And at the same time, they get comfortable with us. They are able to develop that relationship with us. And it's not a matter, you know, it's not a nameless, faceless kind of business. And that's one of the things that we say. You know, we're small enough to know your name, but big enough to handle your business. And that's really important to us, is to develop that relationship, because, you know, more and more the trend has been, even as a website owner, you're seeing more and more women get out here, and they need websites. And so, you know, again, just because of the left brain, right brain thing, they're not always as computer savvy. And so sometimes that's kind of a bridge that we have to cross with them. And so that's one of the goals that we have, is to do that, so that we're able to make it, like I said, put it out there in layman's terms. And we also build the site in such a way that we do a full training with them, and we teach them how to go in and make changes and how to do whatever they want to do, and provide the tutorials and the resources and the tools for them to go back and look into if they want to do it. And that way we empower them. And it kind of takes away that hostage situation that I had mentioned earlier, where, and I've got, you know, countless stories where clients and, you know, honestly, specifically female clients that have worked with companies out here, and, you know, somebody would just be ugly to them. And, you know, it's like they don't want their business. Why don't you want their business? But, you know, we've kind of tried to take that out of it so that they are empowered and know that, okay, if I do want to get in here and make a change, then I can do it. If I don't, then I've got their staff and they can do it for me. But I can if I want to, and I've got that power.
Well, and, you know, and here's the other thing, JP. I think that a lot of times women just feel stupid. We do, because we really don't understand a lot of things. And the point of the matter is, we shouldn't have to understand everything. Yes, you should show it. Yes, you should say, this is what you're doing and this is why you're doing it. But if you're able to do it for us and we're willing to, you know, invest in you doing it for us, and we need that trust factor, I mean, that's the important part that I'm hearing, is that there is trust and there is a relationship here. And I think that's really important, especially for something that you can't always see the results. I mean, you know, you can't see the whole thing building up. You can see the end result, but you can't see all this building up. You know, I want you to say to me, okay, here's what's going to happen, and on Wednesday we're going to unroll it, and we're going to roll this out. And so I don't care what you do Monday, Tuesday, but on Wednesday when you tell me it's there and you show me how great it is, that's what I'm looking for, because then I could say, oh, my God, everybody has to use you.
Right.
You know?
Well,
and because women,
right, it's not a concrete thing. Like, you know, it's not like you're building a house. You can't see the progress physically until you get to that point where it's ready to go.
Right. And especially, you know, women refer people out, what companies, products, services, everything. We refer people out 92% of the time. So if you do us right, especially in something like this, because I can tell you personally, I've had the worst experiences, and I was in tears most of the time because I felt stupid all the time, and I knew what was supposed to be done was not being done, and it cost me a lot of money. And then you go to somebody else and you say, okay, here's what happens, and then the next person picks up and, you know, and runs with it. So I'm excited that we have somebody that is actually in this gender that can help us.
Right. Well,
so you know what we're going to do?
It's interesting even for me, because when we take over sites for clients, I don't know how many times, you know, I've contacted a former host for a client, you know, to get details or to get information that we need. And, you know, I get that same treatment from them. And then I'm like, okay, hold on just a second now. And so, I mean, I understand where they're at in that. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you walk into Sears, I had this happen. Once you walk into Sears and you're looking for a power tool, they're going to immediately think you're there for, you know, something else. I mean, it's just something that we deal with on a daily basis. That's the way it is.
Right. And I can tell you that I had to have my things moved over, and the person that was moving it over for me was a friend, and the person who he was taking it from had totally botched everything up. And so he was on speakerphone, and the person that botched it up was, he was so nasty in how he was describing me. And one of the things he said was, she's really stupid. She doesn't understand. And he had never said that to me, obviously. But that's when I knew this is not how you do business. But what we're going to do really right now is we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come right back because I have lots more to ask you. So one of the questions that we're going to come back and ask JP is, you know, guess how long she's been an entrepreneur? I would bet you cannot guess how long it's been because it's pretty exciting. So this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. I'm here with JP Jones, and I read something about her that I would say most women can't say. She said that she is a 30-year-old female entrepreneur that has owned her own company since she was 8 years old. Okay? 8 years old. Most women that are entrepreneurs start out, you know, in their 30s or 40s, some in their 20s, but since she's eight. So tell us what kind of company it is, and it was, and how did you do it?
Well, thankfully, it's not the same company that it was then, but it actually has all evolved out of that. When I was younger, my family, they owned their own business, and so I've kind of come from a history of entrepreneurs, but they owned their own business, and they would travel, and so they sold crafts, and so they would travel and go to festivals and all of that kind of stuff, and, you know, as one of their children, I was dragged along with them. And so when I was eight, I decided, okay, well, I'm going to be here anyway, then I need to be making some money out of this as well. And so I was artistic. And of course, you know, that kind of leads into the graphic design stuff that I do now. But I originally just started out, I started my first company painting faces on other little children. And so it kind of became like this sideshow because you had the kid out here painting the faces of the other children. And my little four-year-old sister, she would go with me, and she was my money keeper, and so she would take money, and so we had it down to a science, and we actually did that for 6 years. So from the time I was eight to the time I was 14, we did that. Every weekend, we would be set up in different places and doing that, and, you know, learned so much through that, just, you know, amazingly, you know, working with customers and keeping the children happy while you're painting their faces and just all of the stuff that you wouldn't think about that, you know, totally applies later on in business and other arenas. And then from there, I actually moved into doing commissioned artwork and painting, you know, on antiques and just whatever, you know, whatever I could paint and sell. And so I did that from the time I was 14 through college, actually. While I was in college, I continued to do that. And then that just kind of transitioned again into the graphic design, which is what I went to school for, and, you know, ultimately into the web design. And so it all just kind of transitioned. But, you know, ever since that time, ever since I was 8 years old, I've had some kind of business. And you know, even when I was holding down a full-time job and doing other things as well, and that wasn't supporting me, but I've had some kind of business that I have been, you know, building up on the side.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. And I think that's great that you have that entrepreneurial spirit in you. So let me ask you a question. I'm all about bringing value. And if we don't bring value and we don't make things more readily available and easy, it's too hard for people. So I come from a sales background, and everyone thinks that marketing and sales is the same, when we all know that marketing gets you known and sales gets you paid. So what would you tell our listeners if they were starting a business and trying to market their business? What would you, do you have any kind of tips for them?
Absolutely. If they're just getting started and they want to just, you know, right off the bat, they're wanting to dip their foot into the marketing arena, you know, the first thing I would say is don't go out and start spending money for marketing, because honestly, until you know for sure which direction you're going to go, that's probably not going to pay off. So what I suggest that you do, first of all, one of the things that we overlook, and you've alluded to it a couple of times, but one of the things that we overlook in marketing so many times, mainly because it's free, is word-of-mouth marketing. And it's huge. It is absolutely huge. And like you mentioned, especially with women, because women are the referrers. They're the ones that are telling other people to go out and buy products and to go out and use this and do whatever. But focus on that word-of-mouth marketing. One of the things that I tell clients, too, when they say, okay, well, that's great, that sounds great, but how do I even make that happen? And one of the things that I recommend is, you know, starting with your core group, obviously, starting with those people around you, find out what they like and dislike about your product, you know, kind of use them as a focus group, get their feedback, and then just start encouraging them to share it with others. And if you can get them excited about it and they feel like they're kind of in at the ground level, a lot of times they'll do that without even, you know, without even having to be prompted. But just anything that you can do to build excitement in others about your product will lead to them just naturally talking about it. And, you know, Seth Godin covers that in his book, Tribes. It's a fantastic book talking about word-of-mouth marketing specifically and how to develop those people around you to be part of your tribe. But just doing that. And, you know, when you take those next steps then and you're actually starting to develop marketing strategies, you can take that word-of-mouth marketing that has been built up to that point. And, you know, one of the things that we do with Calypsis Web Solutions is we actually have a referral system in place. And I can tell you that right now, after 7 years of being in business doing the web stuff, 90% of our clients have been referred to us. And, I mean, it's huge. It's just a huge demographic that we so often miss because it's not something that we necessarily have to pay for. It's not something that, you know, we're not sending out postcards and doing that kind of stuff for that. And so we don't even think about it as a marketing tool. But to me, I think it's the most overlooked thing that's actually the most valuable out there.
Right. And, you know, and one of the things as entrepreneurs we forget about is marketing. And unless you get it on your calendar to actually do it, we fit it in. You know, it's like, well, if I have time tonight, I'll do this or whatever. And that's hard. But you also said something very interesting about a focus group, because when you start to ask people their opinions about what you're doing, that's your market research. And when they tell you, I'm looking for this, I'm looking for that, they're telling you exactly what they want. And if you don't listen, what's the point? I mean, they're telling you, don't do this, do this. It's like when you build something, you build a website and you give it to a group of people as a beta test and you say, break this for me. Tell me what's wrong with it. Well, when they tell you, yeah, you know, this is too hard, I can't find this, there's no call to action, whatever it is, they are giving you exactly what you need to do, and that's when you bring it to someone like you and you say, JP, fix this for me, you know, or build this for me.
Absolutely. And the mistake that we make so many times, whether it's, you know, product development or service development or even, you know, developing something like the website, is we forget that we're not the customer. Now, yeah, we may have had that initial vision and we may think, okay, yeah, well, this will solve some of my problems, but ultimately we're not the customer. And so you can't create those things just to please yourself. And, you know, again, that's something when we do branding, you know, we work with a lot of clients and develop their branding. And, you know, I'll have, especially women, but I'll have women come to me and they'll say, you know, I love pink. I love, you know, I want my brand to be these colors. And it's like, okay, well, who's your audience, though? Is your audience all women, or are you also selling to men? And so, you know, again, we have to remember that we're not the audience, and you have to determine who that audience is and make sure that you're actually, you know, developing
catering to them
for them. Exactly.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Okay. So tell our listeners about all your books on marketing. Where can they find them? And you know, a tip or two that you might share with them, something that they'd be able to take today and say, oh, yeah, I got it.
Okay. Well, the first book is Market Yourself, A Beginner's Guide to Social Media that you mentioned earlier. It was published in 2009, and it's available, of course, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the online sites for books. You can also get it directly from my website at marketyourselfthebook.com. And then the second book was published in 2012, and it's 31 Days of Marketing. It's actually a little different take on it, and I'm really love the way that it's broken down because, like I mentioned earlier, trying to break down the black hole that is marketing and make it attainable for everyone. That's what 31 Days of Marketing does. It's 31 different chapters that are daily things that you can just go out and do. You don't have to go buy something. You don't have to, you know, it's marketing techniques that you can actually just stop reading and put into practice immediately. And so it's broken up into those bite-sized pieces. And, you know, one of the things that we cover in that, and this can be my tip for everybody, but that's, of course, your 30-second sound bite. When somebody approaches you and they say, you know, what do? You need to have that 30-second, you're ready to just tell them exactly what it is you do, exactly, you know, talk about your product, talk about your service, however you want to present that information, but have that ready to go already so that you're not fumbling around, you know. And you can tailor that. That 30-second soundbite doesn't have to be the same for everybody. Like with myself, you know, if I'm talking to somebody that I know is writing a book, or they tell me they're writing a book, then my 30-second soundbite for that person is going to be about my publishing company. It's not going to be about, you know, logo design. So
right.
You can tailor that specific to whoever you're talking to or to whoever you're, you know, reaching through your marketing. But that's something that's a big deal, to be able and to be ready to use that and get it out there. And, you know, one of the stories that I tell with that, my favorite place to ever have had to use that 30-second sound bite, and you don't realize how often you use it. But, you know, I went to a funeral of a relative a few years ago, and that was when it first kind of opened my eyes because I don't know how many times during that, you know, 3 or 4 days that we were there that I used that, you know, talking to people and, you know, what do you do and how do you do this and all this. And, you know, that's not the place that you go expecting to come away with clients, and yet after what was essentially networking for 3 days, I did. And it shocked me because I thought, okay, well, you know, that's not something that I would think about as a marketing venue for sure, but having that 30-second soundbite and having those resources that have already been developed, you never know when you're going to use them.
Absolutely, and it can sound canned. It has to sound pretty natural. So how can our listeners connect with you and hang out with you and do some great things with you?
All right. Well, we are all over the place, but for the web development stuff that we do, that's collipsis.com, collipsis.com. They can also connect with us with Collipsis at Twitter, and then also at Collipsis on Facebook. And then for myself personally, pageonemedia.com, that's where we do all of our print design. Of course, everything's cross-linked, so if they track us, they can find us everywhere else. And then my Twitter handle, of course, is also Page One Media, PAIGE, the number one media, MEDIA. And I'm happy to answer questions or, you know, just chat with people. Anybody who wants to contact me, Twitter's a great way to do that.
And we're going to post everything, all your contact information. And I just want to say it's been awesome having you here, and I want to thank you for sharing your lunch hour with us because I thought that you gave some great strategies, and I do hope I can coax you to come back and do it again and see what progress our listeners have made with those strategies.
Sounds great.
Well, awesome. Well, everyone, both of our guests have their own target markets. One's about people, one's about a common cause, but both have identified their market. I read an article about target marketing, and it said, when the fish get fed, wouldn't you rather be a big fish in a small pond? It's much easier to carve out a very lucrative and meaningful business for yourself once you've identified a specific target market. And once you're a big fish in a small pond, you'll get more invitations than you can handle to swim in other ponds. I thank you all for tuning in every Monday at noon Central, where we share some extraordinary guests, ideas for your business, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. Make sure you stay connected with us, and remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk.
A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.